You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY Allentown. Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics, and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. To ensure compliance with requirements imposed by the IRS, we inform you that any U.S. federal tax advice contained in this communication is not intended to or to be used for the purpose of avoiding penalties under the Internal Revenue Code or promoting, marketing, or recommending to another party any transaction or matter addressed herein. This show is for educational purposes only. For advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA and a CFP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online at wdiy.org, and you can listen online each and every week and during the week if you go and visit the podcast section. Welcome to the show. Today is August 28, 2013. The markets were up slightly, the Dow closing at 14,824, the NASDAQ at 3593, and the S&P at 1634. Last week, we discussed education planning and concepts to employ when covering college cost. I was joined by Kevin Brogius, a CPA and CFP, for that discussion, and I want to thank him for being here last week. I so appreciated it. Tonight, we're discussing some general healthcare concepts, and it's more than just talking about healthcare. It's how we're going to pay for healthcare and some of the cautions around rising costs and inflation and things like that. We're also going to talk about some tax planning around that, some financial decisions, as well as the beginning of the Affordable Care Act, better known as Obamacare. We're going to touch on that just a bit in the show. We are live. We are here to take your questions. Neil will answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while we do typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I will do my best to answer them. The number to call in this evening is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can also send questions through email at yourfinancialchoices.com. So tonight, healthcare concepts to consider in your financial decisions, as well as a bit on the Affordable Care Act. My guest this evening is Michael Ippoliti, MBA and Certified Financial Planner and Financial Advisor at Valley National Financial Advisors. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hi, Lori. It's a pleasure to be here tonight, and hopefully I can assist tonight by sharing some valuable insights regarding the funding of healthcare costs, especially during retirement.
I'm sure you can, Mike, and Mike has been on the show before. He's a frequent guest, but hasn't been on for a while, and Mike has hosted for me in the past, filling in, so I thank him for being here and talking about this important topic, and in fact, one that Mike's passionate about helping his clients work through. So, Mike, with all the discussion and unknowns around the Affordable Care Act, which some people call Obamacare, I thought we would do a show on some of those issues we see around healthcare decisions and costs when we work with clients, and in particular when we're working with clients in their financial planning, because healthcare costs are such a big part of a person's cash flow when they're paying for insurance and medical care costs and things like that on their own. So I want to give some general information about the Affordable Care Act, probably as we go later in the show, but I want to start with healthcare cost and what are some of the issues that you see, you know, concerns that clients are bringing to you, et cetera.
Well, just talking about, you know, client concerns to start with, I think one of the things that I've always heard over the past 10 years is concern about, will their money last in retirement, how much money they need to save for retirement. But I would say over the past several years and perhaps the past 5 years, a new worry that's becoming more and more prevalent, and that's healthcare costs. How are they going to be able to pay for it? And will they be able to afford, you know, quality healthcare costs like they're having today, currently, if they're working and they get good healthcare coverage under an employer? What happens when they retire? Will they still be able to get the same quality of healthcare? And to put things in perspective, talking about inflation, I think most of the listeners, I'm sure, have their own personal experience just whether it's buying drugs, the cost, you know, the co-pays they have going to the doctor or any kind of treatment. But putting in perspective, there's a recent study that's been done, and just looking at the experience of the average retiree today and looking at inflation, what it is going to cost. They are currently estimating that for a couple retiring at age 65, that over the next 20 years during retirement, they will spend $250,000 to pay for health care costs. I mean, that is just staggering. And if and putting it in perspective again, that exceeds what they would be spending on their housing, recreation, leisure, everything combined.
And Mike, that's not just, you know, sometimes people are thinking about health care costs and they think just about their insurance. They have to remember it's not just insurance costs that they're going to have in their retirement, but it's also their out-of-pockets, their
right.
co-pays, as you mentioned, prescriptions. All of a sudden, they start having, you know, lab work, procedures, and we see more and more of that as the folks, you know, move on in years. Even those who are healthy still have those kinds of costs. So we really need to help them look at their cash flow. So number one, they come in and they say to you, I'm concerned if I'm going to have enough in retirement. And that's probably initially thinking about their leisure, their recreation, and their housing. And then you have to mention their health care costs and that it's going to be about $250,000. So cash flow is really important. So, you know, they're probably looking at their cash flow from their jobs, their pensions, their IRAs, investments. And depending on how they're invested, they're investments and cash flow may not grow as fast as the cost of those health insurance costs that we were talking about. So can you take a minute to talk about the concern around healthcare cost inflation and continuing to meet the
yes.
cost from
cash flow? And this might also help people understand how this bill is just growing at just an exponential rate. Healthcare costs in general in the U.S. over the past 10 years have been increasing by more than 7% a year. And if we look at Medicare B premiums for those who start collecting Medicare, Medicare A is the hospital. Medicare B is your doctor and your outpatient. But Medicare B, although it is subsidized by the government, you pay a part of it. And that fee has been going up by 7.9% per year over the past 5 years. So it's been going up faster than the average rate of inflation, faster than just even healthcare costs in general. And if people look at what's happened to their income, those who are working are not seeing those kinds of increases. In fact, you know, since 2009, pretty much wage income's been somewhat flat. If we look at Social Security benefits over the past 5 years, they have averaged less than 2.3% a year with COLA. Some years there was nothing, but over the five-year period, only a 2.3% increase. If we recognize that Medicare Part B is actually deducted from your Social Security benefit, if it continues, if this disparity continues, in other words, the premium's going up close to 8% a year, and your COLA's going up at 2.5% a year, eventually it will consume all of your Social Security benefits. I mean, obviously something's got to be done, but we're on a path right now that's just totally out of control.
Okay. So we see healthcare costs going up higher than what we're seeing on our COLA benefits, on our wages, if people are still working. Some people can collect Social Security and continue to work. And in fact, quite often we see people going back to work just so they can afford to pay for some of their bills, et cetera. Folks, we're talking about some healthcare concepts this evening, some general healthcare concepts for you to be able to consider in your financial decisions, in your plan to get ready for retirement, what kind of cost do you have to anticipate, what should you expect. So it's not just about making sure that you can relax in your retirement and have your vacations, but it's also making sure that you can take care of your medical expenses. And quite often when we're talking about retirement, we're talking about those folks who are already on Medicare, and we see Medicare costs going up as well as some of your out-of-pocket expenses.
Speaking to people who are, let's say, in some cases going back to work, I think one of the things I caution people who start talking about retiring at 62 is to let them know that Medicare doesn't kick in until 65. So they should be prepared for an out-of-pocket cost just for medical insurance, right, order of magnitude close to $15,000 a year or $7,500 a year per person.
I want to reiterate that, Mike, when we come back from our break. And that's a very good point because we hear that happening a lot. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion. If you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY is now accepting applications for youth media. The annual program, held two Saturdays per month, provides high school students with comprehensive hands-on instruction in radio production, including hosting, writing, recording, and editing. High school students with a strong interest in communications are encouraged to apply soon since space is limited. For more information, visit the Youth Media page on our website, wdiy.org.
And welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and I have with me this evening Michael Ippoliti, MBA, Certified Financial Planner and Financial Advisor at Valley National Financial Advisors. And we are talking about general healthcare concepts to consider in your financial decisions. As we move through the show, we're going to talk about some highlights of the Affordable Care Act, better known as Obamacare, give you some highlights on that. If you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can call and talk live on air, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can call in and give your question to Neil, and he will bring it into the studio, and we will do our best to answer the question. Mike just made a good point. We were talking about the rising cost of medical expenses and how so much of our income, you know, stays stagnant. Sometimes pensions are fixed. They don't increase. They don't have cost of living adjustments necessarily. Social Security, while it might have a cost of living adjustment, it might be 2%. One year we didn't have any. Sometimes it's a little more. But at the same time, if our medical expenses are going up higher, you know, we're going to start feeling more of the pinch on that. And then I had made a joke about, you know, some folks go on Social Security and then start collecting or get a job so that they can continue to pay for expenses they have. And Mike just brought up a point that I want to reiterate, and that is a lot of people will start collecting Social Security at 62. And many people think that because they start collecting Social Security that they're on Medicare. And they don't realize they don't get Medicare.
Not until they're 65.
Yeah. You don't get Medicare until you're 65. And
unless they're disabled.
And then we have the odd case where someone isn't collecting at 65 because they're still working and they don't need Medicare. Mm. And then we have where people don't start collecting Social Security because they want to wait till 70.
Yeah.
But they don't have health insurance, and they do have to pay for Medicare. So there's lots of issues around that. Just be aware, you've got to be careful to coordinate your benefits and realize at 62, if you start collecting Social Security, you're not going to be eligible for Medicare. And Mike threw out a number of what the medical expenses someone might expect.
Basically, you know, $7,500 a person or for a couple, you know, $15,000 a year for, you know, insurance.
That's a lot of money when you're living on Social Security.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we want to go through some of these ideas, these costs that you have to be aware of when you're going into retirement. So, Mike, can we talk about some income tax deductions so they can get a little kickback for their expenses?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things I'd like to kind of bring out tonight. One is, you know, is there ways of offsetting some of medical expenses? And then, you know, maybe a little bit later, ways of funding, you know, the medical expenses. But, you know, one way of actually helping to pay for it is using your taxes or avoiding taxes. And if we think about, you know, just our federal tax return, we have the ability to do itemized deductions or claim a standard deduction. And typically you're looking at trying to get which set of deductions gives you the reduces your taxes the most. And as we get in, you know, as individuals get into retirement and medical care costs start increasing and their income is rather, you know, flat and they don't have they have less ability to be adjusting income from year to year. They do have the ability to, in many cases, shift some medical expenses. They might have a procedure that's scheduled for December. They can move it into January or vice versa. And the intent is to, if you can increase your medical expenses in a given year and then itemize your deductions, and maybe the subsequent year you have less expenses and then file the standard deduction. So you're kind of shifting back and forth. And again, it's an opportunity to, utilize the IRS to help fund some of your medical care costs.
I want to add to that, Mike. We had a case where there was an elderly parent who was, I think, you know, over 80 years old, and she still had a retirement account that was from her husband. So she had an IRA, and her senior living expenses, she was like in nursing care, and they were like $80,000 a year. And it would have eaten up all of her income. So we actually started converting some of the IRA money into a Roth because she didn't have any income tax because the medical expenses were so high. So not only do you want to look for those opportunities to shift your expenses and maybe get an extra tax deduction by itemizing, you also want to look for those opportunities that if your medical expenses actually end up being so high, is there other income you might purposely want to put on your tax return if you're not going to pay any income tax? And a little later, I think we're going to talk about some cautions about putting extra income on your return and what that might do to your Medicare premiums. I think we're going to talk about that a little bit later. I want to remind people of the phone number this evening. It's 610-758-8810. You can talk live with us or give your question to Neil and he'll bring it in. So, Mike, so income tax shifting, other opportunities?
Well, there's another aspect for retirees. Let's just say they retire at 65. They got Social Security coming in, but they haven't tapped into their IRAs at this juncture. But when they turn 70 and a half, all of a sudden they have to take required minimum distributions. And the first year, the percentage that comes out is like 3.65%, or, you know, round numbers, about 4% of their balance, which in turn could create a significant increase in what their taxable income is and what their modified adjusted gross income is. And this in turn has many ramifications. It could be reducing their ability to deduct medical expenses because their adjusted gross income has gone up, but it also has ramifications on Medicare costs.
Okay.
So because your Plan B as well as your Plan D has income thresholds, and if you get over a threshold, the rate starts going up. I mean, good news, bad news is for the average person, it might not hit it. But once your household income, your modified adjusted gross income, exceeds $170,000, it starts ratcheting up. So you could end up with a $500 a year to $2,800 a year premium just based on increase, mm-hmm. based on premiums as they exist this year in 2013. And with inflation and with those premiums going up at, you know, 6-7% a year, that number is increasing, you know, over time.
And it can change year after year. So
right.
One year you might have the premium boost, the next year you might not. They look back about 2 years, I think. We had a call come in, and I'm going to, because we're so close to a break, Andy, you called in. I want to answer your question, but I'm going to let us take the break before we do that because it's going to take longer than the time I have left before my break. So I want you to hang on air, Andy, listening. It is off air. So we will come back from our break and take that call. Folks, the phone number this evening to call is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. You can call off air, give your question to Neil, he'll bring it in, or call and we can talk live on air. And we are going to take our break, and we will be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you are listening to WDIY Allentown, listener-supported community public radio. Lehigh Valley weather, current conditions, 72 degrees with light rain, fog, and mist. Tonight, scattered showers, lows around 65. Thursday, chance of thunderstorms, highs around 85. And Friday, sunny skies with highs around 84 degrees. Folks, the time now is 6:20 p.m. Now back to your financial choices with our host, Lori Siebert.
Hello and welcome back. And I have with me this evening Mike Apolity. He's my guest. We are discussing healthcare considerations in your financial planning and your financial decisions. Andy from Nazareth called, and he had asked, his son, unemployed, is on the family plan through work. He turns 26 next year. What options does he have for insurance if he is dropped from the family plan? Well, first of all, Andy, it's interesting to me because this rule about age 26 only really even came into existence, I think, maybe a year or two ago, maybe a couple years now. Prior to that, your kids typically were dropped from your health insurance if they were no longer your dependent, you know, via the rules for being a student, full-time student, blah, blah. So it's nice that we have been able to keep our children on the health care plans that we have through age 26. What's going to happen is if he's not employed, then, and everyone is supposed to have coverage, then he would have to go on what we call the marketplace. And for a while, they were calling these the exchanges. And now it's called the marketplace. And in Pennsylvania, they elected not to do their own marketplace. So they're going to tap into the government marketplace, as I understand it. And what would happen is there's certain coverage options that he could look at. There, depending on if he's working or not, he may qualify for subsidies. So he could go in and look at a plan, and there's different levels, which I'll go into in a little while before the end of the show. Different level plans that give different levels of coverage. So you want to look for the affordable plan. But the gist of it is everyone has to get a minimum requirement. I kind of forgot the lingo that they're using right now, but it's minimum essential coverage. That's what it is. So everyone has to have minimum essential coverage. But for folks who are under age 30, they can have a catastrophic plan, which I imagine would be super affordable or the most affordable. So I don't know all the details on the catastrophic plan, but someone who's under age 30 who may not be able to afford the plans that have the minimum essential coverage could look at the catastrophic plan, and that's for people who are under age 30. There's also certain insurance plan options for people with income up to the 400% of the federal poverty level. There will be some subsidies given. So even if there is a premium, there would be a subsidy given back, which is to offset the cost of that plan. There is a website called healthcare.gov, healthcare.gov. And on that website will be lots of information, educational tools available. And because Pennsylvania is not doing their own marketplace plan, I believe the federal plans are going to be on that website, and there's going to be a requirement to have comparisons. So he would have to go on and comparison shop and see which plan would suit his needs. So healthcare.gov is the website, and hopefully there would be enough information for him then. So know that there should be something there. And that's very different than what we've had in the past. So everyone should have coverage. There are supposed to be a lot of options and making it affordable for folks. So next year, maybe he'll be working by then and things could change, but know that there is something on the horizon for that. One other point about that is there is an open enrollment period, October 1st through, I believe, March 31st. And if people don't go in to get that health care coverage, if they're not otherwise covered, and there's lots of other ways you can be covered through an employer or what, or Medicare, Medicaid, CHIP. So for people who aren't covered or exempt from it, can go look for coverage. Okay, Andy? So that's what I'll say about that. I just lost my train of thought, and I apologize. So hope that helped. Now, Mike, we were just talking about how the Medicare premiums can go up if we have too much income on our tax return. We talked about different strategies to lower income, to get higher deductions, to get higher itemized deductions so that the medical expenses aren't limited the way they normally are if we have lower income on page one. Are there some other strategies we can use to lower income?
Yeah, I mean, I had mentioned before is, you know, when people turn 70 and a half, their required minimum distributions kick in, and they have, you know, their income jumps up. And in some cases, for some people who have properly prepared for retirement, it may be even more than what's required. But again, this income has, you know, the money in an IRA has never been taxed, so it's coming out and you have to pay income tax on it. So for those who are, let's say, younger, those who are still working, there are really a lot of opportunities. One is potentially, if your employer offers it, is taking advantage of a Roth 401k versus a traditional 401k, because that money will ultimately come out tax-free. It's going in as after-tax dollars, but it grows tax-free and comes out tax-free. The second is really just taking advantage of Roth IRAs, the same thing. You don't get a tax benefit when you put it in, but it's growing tax-free and it comes out tax-free, and you don't have required minimum distributions. You can use it whenever you want or defer taking money out of it and even passing it to your heirs. And then the third aspect, too, is converting some traditional IRAs to Roth IRAs. Again, the intent is so that when you get into retirement, you have more sources of tax-free income.
You know, also removing some income from page one of the return in the years that you can, or playing tax brackets in the years that you can. That income that's on page one is also going to affect people's ability to get subsidies. So back to my point about Andy and his son, and if he's going to qualify for some of these medical subsidies, it's really a tax credit. You get them on the tax return. And we are going to see much more concentration on folks' tax returns than we have in the past as it relates to their health care coverage and the subsidies that they may be entitled to. I want to just kind of put this a little bit in perspective before we go on break. Again, this is for people who do not have affordable health care. So you may currently be buying health care, but it may not be affordable. Or you may have health care that you think is affordable, but it doesn't meet the minimum criteria that is required. And I had an example where we had someone who had a high deductible plan, and their out-of-pocket cost would be $10,000. Well, that's too high. That's not meeting the minimum criteria. It's too much cost for someone. So they may be required to go look for new health insurance because it's not meeting the eligibility requirements for that health care. So that's one of the problems. People are concerned that they're not going to be able to keep their health care if they have the same health care. But if that health care cost would be, you know, astronomical, then the government is going to say then that's not, you know, necessarily affordable plan for you, and you need to look at something that's more affordable. And by going through the marketplace and going on healthcare.gov and looking at comparable plans, you may actually find something that could be more affordable. It's supposed to be more transparent. That's what we're hoping for. The issue is we're not quite sure what the implementation is going to be in the end. But that open enrollment period is October 1st through March 31st. If you don't get it during that period and you're someone who's required to get it, then you could end up having a penalty, and I can talk about that a little bit later. If you have an event that occurs that all of a sudden, boom, now you know you're unemployed or now you don't have insurance, there's exceptions to that. And also, there won't be a penalty if it's just for a short period of time that you don't have insurance, like 3 months. So if you don't have insurance, they're not going to penalize you if you were just without it for a few months. So lots and lots of information. I'm still trying to get my arms around it all, which is why I decided to do a show on part of this, because I think there's so much involved, so much new information. But for folks who already have insurance that's affordable, meets the minimum requirements, for the most part, you're going to be okay. And I'm going to talk about what those minimum requirements will be as we go through the show. It's time for a break. The phone number, 610-758-8810.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk and traditional music is a crazy quilt of colors and textures. In the tradition traces its many patterns and designs. Music handed down from generation to generation. In the tradition, Wednesday evening at 7 on WDIY FM Lehigh Valley Community Public Radio.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. Folks, if you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. 8810. I have Mike Apolliti in the studio with me. We're talking about healthcare considerations, cash flow issues, retirement planning, tax planning, all around controlling some of your healthcare costs or at least getting a deduction for those healthcare costs. I also want to highlight a little bit of the Affordable Care Act, trying to get our arms around it. Let me give you some basics, and then we'll get back to Mike and talking about some strategies that folks can use. So basically what we are talking about is, if you currently have coverage and it's covering the essential health benefits minimum coverage, these are the terms they're using, then you're not going to have to go get insurance as long as it's affordable. So let's talk a little bit about the essential minimum coverage. These general terms are, you need to have the healthcare needs to provide ambulatory patient services, emergency services, hospitalization, maternity and newborn care, mental health and substance abuse disorder, prescriptions, rehab services and devices, laboratory services, preventative and wellness services, including chronic disease management, pediatric services, including oral and vision care. But it does not include vision, dental, workman's comp, or Medigap coverage. Medigap coverage is that insurance you get on top of your Medicare. So it's not, it does not include those. So the minimum health benefits are those that I listed. That website again is healthcare.gov, healthcare.gov. It is a governmental website. Was established to provide information to individuals, families, small businesses, anyone who thinks they might be affected by this. There are a lot of links there to get more information. I mean, so many links, I couldn't click through all of them because it may or may not apply to you. So you don't have to click through every link. You go and look what will apply to you. But basically, this came about to offer new rights and protections that make coverage fairer and easier to understand. So right now, it doesn't seem like it's easy to understand to any of us because it's still being, determined, I feel, as we're going along here. That website will give you more information to make it a little bit more understandable. But again, it's for people who don't have coverage or for people who have coverage, but that coverage does not mean the minimum health insurance coverage. So my example earlier, the high deductible plan, it was too high. I mean, $10,000 out of pocket was not considered minimum coverage. So that act called for a cap on the annual out-of-pocket spending. and that is $6,350. So people could still get a high deductible plan, or they could buy the cheapest plan that might only cover, I think it was like 60% of your cost. So you still could have some out-of-pocket expenses, but it has to be a cap of $6,350. So if you find out or you realize, gosh, you may not be able to keep the coverage that you currently have, or maybe your employer coverage is so expensive for you and you maybe don't make enough money, then maybe it would deem to be not affordable for you, then you might be someone who would go into the marketplace. Again, that's the new word they're using instead of exchange. So you would go in the marketplace. If you have coverage to work, you probably have the minimum coverage and you don't need to go to the marketplace. So what were the goals of the act? The goals were to create a health insurance marketplace, which is a new way to get health coverage. It requires insurance companies to cover people with pre-existing health conditions. So I've had several clients who have pre-existing health care, pre-existing health conditions, and have had spouses continue to work and continue to work and continue to work because they're just so afraid to lose their coverage. So in this new marketplace, the insurance will be covering pre-existing health conditions. The goal is also to help you understand the coverage you're getting with comparisons. It holds insurance companies accountable for rate increases. It makes it illegal for health insurance companies to arbitrarily cancel your health insurance just because you get sick. We've seen that on, you know, those news shows where you find out someone gets sick and all of a sudden they, you know, they're not covered. Or I heard the story about the little baby who contracted some disease or illness in the womb. And when the baby was born, they said it had a pre-existing health condition. I heard that somewhere. Couldn't believe it. It protects your choice of doctors. It covers young adults under age 26. So our caller earlier, Andy, that's one of the reasons the kids under age 26 have coverage. Provides free preventative care. Because if we can prevent some of our medical maladies, we would be cheaper in the long run. Ends lifetime and yearly dollar limits on coverage of essential health benefits. And it guarantees your right to appeal. So those were the goals of the act. Starting in 2014, if we're buying insurance in the marketplace, we may be entitled to subsidies, I mentioned earlier. And that is if your income does not exceed 400% of the federal poverty level. So when we talk about making this easy to understand, this is where it starts to get a little confusing. So basically, a way to think about it is if you feel like you really can't afford your health care, you know, then maybe you might be someone who would be eligible for some of these subsidies. So you kind of have to go with your instincts here. If you're someone who's paying for health care and just seems burdensome, then you want to look to see if you maybe qualify for some subsidies. And that 400% of the federal poverty level, it's a little higher than I would have expected, actually. It's $44,680 for an individual and $94,200 for a family of four in 2013. And you can't be eligible for Medicare, Medicaid, CHIP, or affordable employer-sponsored insurance. So back to the point we were discussing earlier, it may be more important than ever to control the income on your tax return. Mike, can you give us a little bit more about some strategies that folks could use? And let me give the phone number one more time. And I hope that gives people kind of like, a little bit of putting their arms around these issues. And the most important thing is that website, healthcare.gov, to get more information about the Affordable Care Act and realizing if it's going to apply to you or not. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. So, Mike, about controlling costs, it might not just be to save taxes. It might not just be to help pay our health care or get deductions. It also might affect someone's ability to get subsidies for paying their health insurance premiums if they are getting insurance in the marketplace. What other strategies do we have to help folks?
Okay, for those who are employed, for those who are employed and their company offers these options, We have health savings account, flexible spending accounts. And essentially what they do, you take a portion of your pay, and it's coming out pre-tax, and it's put in this account, and you can then use it to pay for medical expenses. So basically what it's doing is enabling you to use untaxed money, pre-tax dollars, to pay for medical expenses. So if you're in a 15% tax bracket or a 25% tax bracket or whatever tax bracket, basically the government is helping to subsidize paying for your medical expenses. For small business owners, there's even other options. There's a new option out there, relatively new, a 401H plan as opposed to a 401K plan, where they could make contributions to this account and use it for paying for healthcare costs.
Who does that? Who puts the money in that? The employee or the employer, the 401H?
Well, that's only for a small business owner. So okay. Basically, we're talking about a one person.
Well, that's a good point though too, because self-employed people can actually get a deduction for their health insurance on page one of their return. So that's a good point because I hadn't thought about mentioning that tonight. So if someone's out there and they're self-employed and they have health insurance, they and you can get a deduction on page one of your return. It's not a deduction from your income, so it's not going to save you Social Security tax, but it is a deduction on page one, where the rest of us who are paying medical expenses may not get to get a deduction, because if we're itemizing, we might not be able to itemize. So self-employed people, keep that in mind. If you have a health insurance plan, and it can be for you and your spouse, your family, you can get a deduction on page one of your return. But I think it's also good to reiterate what you had mentioned, Mike, about those other opportunities, the health savings account and the flexible spending account. The flexible spending account is probably one of the easiest things to do that I don't see people often taking advantage of it. The flexible spending account says we can put X amount of dollars pre-tax and get a deduction and not have to pay income tax on that for federal, for state either. And then you use that money to pay for your medical expenses. The big drawback, people have always said, is use it or lose it kind of event. But with careful planning and thinking about what they're doing, as you were mentioning mm-hmm. earlier, kind of chunking your medical expenses, I've even waited to have a crown done because I knew that my husband hadn't upped the flexible spending account yet. So then it's like, okay, my son's getting glasses, my husband's getting glasses, I'm getting glasses, I'm getting my crown and dental work, and we try to do it all in 1 year where we know we can make those expenses work in the flexible spending account.
And the other change that's occurred in recent years, at one time you had to spend it by December 31st. Now there's a grace period where it carries into the first quarter of the next year. So there's an additional buffer in your planning. But as you said, we always have discretionary medical expenses, whether it's dental, vision, that you can pull forward or push forward or pull back or whatever, move from year to year to balance out your spending.
And in fact, quite often the dentist and the eye doctors are getting the calls in December, people trying to rush in and make appointments and spend their flexible spending account money. But again, employers are making it much easier for folks to do that. If you have questions this evening, give us a call. The phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. Neil's in the studio. We can take calls live on air, or you can give your question to Neil and he'll bring it in. We're talking about healthcare considerations, cost to expect in retirement. Mike had mentioned at the top of the show that a recent study had showed that a retired couple who lives in retirement for 20 years can anticipate medical costs of $250,000. And you might say, what, that's crazy. But it is one of the largest expenses we see in our financial planning and retirement planning. It's one of the biggest costs, not to mention the inflation on it, which is trending much higher than, we see for cost of living adjustments on our wages and Social Security. We're seeing 6-7% increases on medical cost. So you have to plan for that. Understand what the implication is in your retirement planning. Again, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll finish up and be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you are listening to WDIY, where definitely it's you, your source for local news and public affairs, NPR, and music diversity. The time now is 6:45 p.m. Now back to our program.
Thank you, Jeff. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We are talking about healthcare considerations, healthcare concepts. We have Mike Apolity in the studio this evening. Mike's a certified financial planner and financial advisor at Valley National Financial Advisors. If you have questions, 610-758-8810. We'll take them live or off air. I want to recap a couple things on the Affordable Care Act. Recall that I said you can go to the website healthcare.gov. Lots of information there. This is really for folks who do not have coverage. So keep that in mind. If you have health insurance, you have a marketplace plan when those take effect, which is in 2014. If you end up buying into a marketplace plan, if you have an individual plan with work that is affordable, that you have an individual plan outside of the marketplace, outside of an employer, maybe you just have an individual plan. As long as it has the minimum essential coverage, you will be considered covered. If you have Medicare, Medicaid, CHIP, TRICARE for veterans and their families, other veteran plans, and Peace Corps volunteer plans, you will be considered to have coverage. If you don't have coverage, you need to get it through the marketplace during the open enrollment period, which is October 1st through March 31st, or if you have an event that wasn't anticipated that could open that window a little differently. So you want to make sure that you have the coverage that qualifies for minimum essential coverage. Real quick, four levels of insurance. There's a bronze, silver, gold, and platinum plan. And as I mentioned earlier, if you're under 30, there's a catastrophic plan. Each of the four plans have increasing coverage of the benefits costs. So the bronze plan will cover 60%. And with caps, though, as well. The silver plan is 70, gold is 80, and the platinum will have 90% coverage. There is a penalty if you do not have the minimum essential coverage, but if you are, can't afford it, or, certain poverty levels, there are some exceptions to that penalty. But there are also ways to get subsidies to cover the cost of that. So keep that all in mind. We had another call come in off air. Son turning 27, off family plan. Interesting, similar to our other one. Works in Colorado, does not offer insurance. Could you recap his options? Missed the first part of the show. Okay, so caller, as I said, if he's under 26, he could be on the family plan. You're saying he's off the family plan because he's 27, he works, and he's not offered insurance. Then what's going to happen is he could go on healthcare.gov and check for his state. There is going to be a drop down. You can say what state you're from. I don't know off the top of my head what Colorado opted for. Some states could have opted to offer their own plans, and some
like Massachusetts as well.
Like Massachusetts, some are partnering with the federal plans and some of their own. And if they didn't opt for either of those, then it's automatically opted into the federal marketplace. So you go onto healthcare.gov, click Colorado, it should show what those options are. What I don't know, caller, is if those options are posted yet, because I'm not sure if all the states have gotten up to snuff or if the federal has it on there yet. The plans are a bronze, silver, gold, and platinum. The premiums are going to go up with the better plan. If your son is under 30, he could apply for a catastrophic plan, and that is the one plan I didn't research further. So I'm not sure what's covered on the catastrophic plan, but the idea is if someone's under 30, they may not need quite the same benefits. But again, part of the minimum coverage was that it had to offer all of those services that I had mentioned, the emergency services, hospitalization, preventative care. So I am assuming, caller, that even the catastrophic plan would have coverage of the preventative care issues that your son at his age would probably need and want. So healthcare.gov is the place to go for that. And he may also qualify, if there is a premium on the plan that he gets, he may qualify for subsidies depending on his income, which is 400% times the poverty level, which is at about $44,000. If his page one income is less than that, then he may qualify for subsidies, which could help offset the premium cost. Okay, I hope that helps. Mike, what other issues do we have in healthcare that folks need to pay attention to when we're talking about healthcare considerations for, you know, retirement in particular?
Okay, well, there's two things. One that we haven't talked about, yet is long-term care and recognizing, and sometimes people don't recognize what Medicare pays for and what it doesn't pay for. It doesn't pay for skilled nursing care. So you've got the ability to self-insure, pay it yourself, or buy policies. There's, because of the rapidly rising cost of healthcare costs, a lot of companies have gotten out of the business, but there's still the opportunity to get long-term care policies, and there's some more hybrid versions today where you can get a combination of a life insurance policy with a long-term care rider so that you're sort of guaranteed, even if you don't take advantage of it, at least there's life insurance that goes to your heirs, passes to your estate.
Because I jump in there, because that's one of the things a lot of people are afraid of. They don't want to pay for long-term care insurance because they feel like, what if they never need it and they're throwing the money away? So companies came up with a concept of, okay, let's try to cover that risk that people feel. Yeah. So they say, okay, you can buy a policy that has a long-term care provision in it, but if they never use it, it would become life insurance. Yes. Okay, that's good.
Another thing, too, when we were talking about escalation of healthcare costs and we're talking about other sources of income, we only really addressed that, Social Security has not been going up at the same rate.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the other thing really facing many retirees today who are living off of interest income is their savings account, checking mm-hmm. account, money market accounts are virtually earning zero. CDs might be earning 1%. So again, their money is literally evaporating or not keeping pace with healthcare costs. So as time goes on, it's getting harder and harder to manage, not only, their expenses in general, but especially healthcare expenses. So again, I think it's more and more important today to be really seeking out advice, from advisors as to what do they do, in this period of, continued inflation and, the opportunities in what had been attractive sources in the past for, savings account, checking account, CDs are no longer meeting their needs.
Mm-hmm. The other thing we could keep in mind, too, and I don't know how often this would happen, but if you may not be in retirement, you may be a young person who has some health care costs that come up. I mean, even young people have, events in their lives. We can gift to people without actually gifting to them by paying for their medical expenses. So if someone has high medical cost and they have to go to the hospital. Maybe they didn't have coverage and, you know, they went and had a baby or some procedure. And let's say you have a parent, aunt, uncle, brother, sister, or someone who would like to help out with covering your health care. They could make a payment directly to the medical institution or service provider, and then it's not considered a gift to you either, and it gets paid directly. So when we're talking about healthcare costs, and I noticed tonight we kind of concentrated on folks in retirement because that's where we see some of the highest cost, but people do from time to time incur sizable expenses even pre-retirement. So we want you to be aware of that too, and some different options that people have. Mike, you had also mentioned when we were talking before the show about how we've seen a lot of clinics spring up in the area.
Yeah, and I would say, again, this is, you know, apparently a part of anticipation of the Affordable Health Care Act coming on stream, because basically we've got what's, you know, 30 million people who are uninsured and anticipating a huge influx. And I think just locally here in the Lehigh Valley, and we could really pass by it on the way here to the radio show, Lehigh Valley Health Network has created a walk-in clinic right adjacent to Lehigh Valley Hospital in Muhlenberg. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming there's probably similar things over at Cedar Crest, and there's certainly similar things probably St. Luke's has set up. And the intent there is many people going to see a doctor for a cold, a virus, you know, something minor where they really don't need a medical doctor, where a physician's assistant, nurse practitioner, somebody with that caliber, and nurse practitioners today can write prescriptions. So much of the treatment could be really handled by someone of lesser skills and lesser cost, obviously, so it becomes a more cost-effective way of meeting many of the, you know, many medical expenses today, and also helps deal with the difficulty of even getting in to see your existing doctor today. Mm-hmm.
So in anticipation of more people having health insurance and may be covered, more clinics are going to come up, and maybe that'll drive some of the cost down that people have. So even for folks who end up not having medical insurance, they may benefit from just that alone. But if you don't get the minimum coverage that's required under the Affordable Care Act, and that starts in 2014, there could be penalties. And that penalty is 1% of your yearly income or $95 per person for the year, whichever is higher. It increases every year. In 2016, it's 2.5% of income or $695 per person. So you want to pay attention to whether those penalties in themselves will cause you difficulty, and then also knowing that you won't have coverage if you do have some catastrophic illness, etc. So it's worthwhile going and looking and seeing what kind of coverage is required, and also understand that if you are head of the household, you are required to make sure that your dependents are covered as well. So if you're not going to qualify under other programs like Medicaid or CHIP, then you need to check out the marketplace for insurance if you don't otherwise have it, or you don't otherwise have it through an employer. So please check that out. Mike, we have just a minute. Any closing thoughts?
I think that maybe just one closing thought is the importance of planning for retirement. It was challenging before, but it's doubly challenging today, recognizing what's happening to healthcare costs. So it's something that you don't want to put off. If you don't have a plan, if you don't have a written plan, it's not going to happen.
Well, I like, Mike, one of the things you first said when I first met you was about a goal.
Yeah.
And that if you don't write down your goal,
you're not going to achieve it.
You're not going to achieve it. Yeah. So, folks,
it's a wish. It's not a plan.
Okay. Mike's all about planning. So, Mike, thank you for being here. Thank you for helping me raise these issues. Mike kind of stepped in and helped out with the show at the last minute, and I really appreciate it because there's a lot of complicated topics here, and hopefully we'll get more acquainted with all of them as we go along, and I appreciate your insights about planning, etc. Next week, I am going to talk about year-end tax planning, and you might say, what, Lori? We're like just at the beginning of September. Why are we talking about year-end tax planning? Well, because as Mike said, you know, we have to have a goal, we have to write it down, and then we have to, you know, plan for it. And we can't be planning on December 15th. So we have a lot of opportunity here when we're talking about maybe shifting income or shifting expenses. If we find out that someone might be able to itemize or just on the cusp, but maybe use medical expenses as a deduction, well, if we need to get you into the doctor, we got to start planning a little sooner than the last week of December. So year-end tax planning, I'm going to talk about some of the different things that we can do now that we have time to still do that planning and before we have our quarterly estimated tax payment vouchers that are due September 15th. So thanks, Mike, for being here. Coming up next is Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition. Stay tuned for him. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Neil, so much. Listeners, remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.